streams and cross the waves. Onward tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Well, the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves, sing in triumph for the tomb. Jesus save, Jesus save. Give the wind a mighty voice. Jesus save, Jesus save. Let the nation now rejoice. Jesus save, Jesus save. Shout salvation full and free, highest earth and deepest gate. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Well, amen. Welcome to Liberty Baptist Church this morning. We're glad to see each of you. We're going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll continue. Father, I ask that you bless the service this morning. We need your help, need your presence. I ask that you bless. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You can be seated. We will be singing My Redeemer, number 268.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will tell him of the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with him to be. Sing, oh my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
Well, amen. If you're wondering, Brother Block, he was sick today. He's not feeling well, so you need to pray for him, and if you're wondering where he was. All right, let me ask this. Do we have any visitors here today? Anybody visitors here for the first time? Looking around, looking for hands to be raised. I don't see any. All right. All right, prayer needs. Brother Nichols and his wife, keep them in prayer. Brother Block, again, he's sick today. Brother Perry and Brother blessing to you. Okay. Okay. Is he out of the hospital now? Okay. All right. His name is what?
Bobby Lee Caldwell.
Okay, you keep him in prayer then. All right, and that's good for them, and it's good for you. Someone said they need the prayer, and we need the practice. So that would be good. Things to do this week. We have the service again tonight at 6:00, and then Wednesday night I have a service at 7:30, and then Thursday 6:45 for soul winning. Saturday there's a bus visitation at 9:30, and then soul winning again at 10:45. And I hope you'll avail yourself to some of those things. Those are the opportunities for the week, and now we'll continue with the song service.
Please stand as we sing number 277, Jesus Loves Even Me.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Father, we ask you to bless this service this morning. Bless the preaching and the listening. Bless this offering. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
We will be singing Jesus Led Me All the Way, number 278.
Someday life's journey will be o'er, and I shall reach the distant shore. I'll sing while entering heaven's door, Jesus led me all the way. Step each day, I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way. If God should let me there review the winding paths of earth I knew, it would be pretty. step by step each day. I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burden down. Jesus led me all the way, and hitherto my Lord hath led. Today he guides step by tread, and soon an avenue will be said. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. Led me step by step each day. I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way.
This past Thursday, we honored our Veterans Day. This is a song that the Lord gave me a few years ago, simply entitled Remember. It was brought about through the phrase, I'm sure most of you heard it, there's only two people who've ever died for you, that's the veterans and the Lord. Yep. And this song mentions both of those.
Our freedom to keep Jesus our
save.
Amen.
Good morning. And let's open our Bibles this morning. We'll read three passages to start with, starting in Romans chapter 3, then Galatians chapter 2, and then James chapter 2. Romans chapter 3, we'll begin in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, that's the Jews, and uncircumcision, that's the Gentiles, the non-Jews, through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, or put his faith in God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth or has faith on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Then notice in Galatians chapter 2, just one verse, that's verse 16, Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Then look down to Galatians chapter 3, and beginning with verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in these shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And then finally, James chapter 2. James chapter 2, we'll begin with verse 14 and read through the end of the chapter. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? In other words, can that kind of faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he'd offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she'd received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I'm going to speak to you this morning on this subject, justification by faith and justification by works. Both of those things are taught in the Bible, in the passages that we just read, in fact. Justification by faith and justification by works. Now, Father, we come to the preaching of your word this morning, and Lord, I need your help today. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit that he'll speak to hearts. I pray if there are those with us who've never trusted Christ as their Savior, that they would come to him today by faith and trust him and be saved. And I pray that you might make the word of God a blessing to your people and maybe help clear some things up that might have been confusing to some. Please help in Jesus' name. Amen. The passages which we read as our text passages this morning are passages which have been debated and discussed for centuries by students of the Bible. They're also passages which have caused puzzlement and perplexity to many people, because on the surface, and I emphasize that, on the surface, the passages written by Paul in Romans and Galatians appear to contradict the passage written by James in the book of James. Now, there is no contradiction, and in fact, if you'll listen and follow along closely this morning, I'll show you that far from contradicting one another, Paul and James actually complement, supplement, round out, and balance one another. But on the surface, if you do not study the passages carefully, they appear to contradict one another. Now, the matter which is being discussed both by Paul in Romans and Galatians and by James in the book of James is the matter of justification. Therefore, it's absolutely essential that we understand what justification is in order to understand what Paul and James are talking about. Now, listen carefully, and don't miss this. for your understanding of the rest of the sermon will depend on your understanding of what the word justification means. The word justification is actually a legal word that was used in courtrooms in Bible days. In fact, it's easy to see that it's a legal term by considering other legal terms which come from the same root words. I'm talking about words like judge and justice and words like that that come from the same root word as the word justification. Now, this legal term, justification, refers to an individual being judged and found righteous by the one judging them. Sean, stand up a minute, would you? Didn't he do a good job leading the singing this morning, by the way? Okay, but now, Sean is the defendant. I'm the judge. I find him righteous. Now, what have I done? I've justified him. That's what justification means. It means to declare somebody righteous. Somebody's being judged by another person. That other person finds them righteous. Thank you, Sean. So get this thought in your mind. To be justified means that you've been judged by somebody, and the person judging you found you to be righteous. This is what is dealt with by Paul in Romans and Galatians and by James in the book of James. They're dealing with justification, someone being judged and found righteous by the person judging them. Now, I want us to see this morning three basic things concerning justification as set forth by Paul in Romans and Galatians and as set forth by James in the book of James. First, let's consider the conflict. I said a while ago that the passage is written by Paul in Romans and Galatians, and the passage written by James in the book of James have been debated for centuries and have puzzled many Christians because on the surface there appears to be a conflict and a contradiction between what Paul says and what James says. Now, let me show you what I mean. Notice what Paul says about justification. Romans chapter 3, notice verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Then look over to Galatians chapter 2. We read that a moment ago. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Then notice Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now in these passages, Paul very clearly states that we're justified by faith, not by works. You see that? One of you did. Did anybody else see that? Now, notice then what James says about justification in James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and notice what James says in verse 24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So James states very clearly that we're justified by works and not by faith only. So you see the conflict. Paul says that we're justified by faith, not by works. James says that we're justified by works, not by faith alone. Now this apparent contradiction has caused much confusion for people. For example, the reformer Martin Luther, he had an extremely difficult time. In fact, he called the book of James an epistle of straw because he couldn't put what James said with what Paul said and make them mesh. So he called it an epistle. Well, it's not an epistle of straw. Preacher, you're saying Martin Luther was wrong? Yeah, he was wrong about that and about a number of other things. That's why I'm a Baptist, not a Lutheran. I heard a preacher one time from up in East Texas, and I remember him saying, justification is not by works. Well, this preacher said that, but the Bible says it is. It's what James says. Now, when we find things like this in the Bible, what God intends for us to do is not ignore them, is not be afraid of them, is not run from them, but rather he intends for us to study the passages out so as to arrive at a proper understanding of them, and so we can reconcile them and realize that there's no contradiction at all. In fact, this is exactly what the Bible tells us. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now that expression, rightly dividing, is an interesting expression. It means to cut it straight. You see, Paul was a tent maker. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 3 tells us about Paul being a tent maker. Now, if he cut material for a tent and one piece didn't fit with another piece, then he knew that he hadn't cut it straight. He says, you must study God's word so that you can cut it straight, so that you can make one part fit together with other parts. And if you interpret one passage and it doesn't fit together with other passages, then you're not cutting it straight. You have the wrong interpretation of what it means, because when properly interpreted, no part of the Bible contradicts any other part. Now, folks, hear me. Whenever anyone thinks that they have found a contradiction or a mistake in the Bible, the mistake or contradiction is not in the Bible, it's in their mind. They're not cutting it straight. Now, I jotted down a bunch of reasons why people think there are mistakes in the Bible, but I jotted down, I think, between 10 and 15 reasons. I didn't figure I'd have time to get to all of them, so I just won't give you any of them. There are a lot of reasons why people imagine that they found mistakes and contradictions in the Bible. But again, according to 2 Timothy 2:15, when the Bible is cut straight, when it's interpreted properly, there are no contradictions. Now, while there is an apparent conflict and contradiction between what Paul said in Romans and Galatians and what James said in the book of James, in reality, there's no conflict, no contradiction at all. Now, somebody says, preacher, how can there not be a contradiction when Paul says that we're justified by faith without works and James says that we're justified by works and not by faith only? How can that not be a contradiction? Okay, that brings me to the second thing, that is the contrast. If you'll listen closely and follow me now, I'll show you that Paul and James are simply, as I said a while ago, considering the same concept, justification, but they're considering it from two different perspectives, and that what both of them say is true, and in fact, as we'll see a little later, the two truths actually go together and complement one another. Now remember, the subject being dealt with is justification. Justification means that a person has been judged and found righteous by the person who is judging them. Paul said we're justified by faith without works. James said we're justified by works, not by faith only. Well, how can both things be true? Because two different personages judge us. God judges us and man judges us. Okay, now stay right with me and listen closely. Don't think about the ball game right now. Think about it's over with anyhow, baseball. I totally lost interest in all of it in the last 3 or 4 years. When I found out that Major League Baseball gave so much money to Black Lives Matter, I totally lost interest in it. I haven't watched one game this year. I don't know who. I think I heard Atlanta won the World Series, but I don't know for sure. Anyway, when Paul says that we're justified by faith without works, he's talking about, and as I'm going to show you, plainly tells us that he's talking about justification in the sight of God. And let me say, in order to go to heaven, this is what we have to have: justification in the sight of God. That's what takes us to heaven. Now, go back again. Let me show you this. Go back to Romans chapter 3. And what I'm going to show you is what usually causes people to think there are mistakes in the Bible, and that is that they read something into it that's not there, or they assume something is there that's not there. Now, Romans 3:20, look at what Paul says. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified, notice the next three words, in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And so, in his sight, he's talking about justification in God's sight. Go back to Galatians again. Notice Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. But that no man is justified, notice the next clause, by the law in the sight of God, it is evident for, and he quotes from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, the just shall live by faith. And so, again, in the sight of God, nobody's justified by the law in the sight of God. And so, Paul is dealing with justification in the sight of God. And he emphasizes over and over that justification before God, which again is what we must have if we're to go to heaven. Paul emphasizes over and over again that justification before God is not by works, it is by faith in Jesus Christ. It means, my dear friend, hear me this morning, you're not going to heaven because you live a good life. You're not, in the first place, you don't live a good life in the eyes of God. You're not going to heaven because you're a member of a church, whether it's this church or some other church. You're not going to heaven because you got baptized or confirmed or took communion. You're not going to heaven because you turn over a new leaf or any other good works. If you go to heaven, you'll go there by putting your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and when you do that, God justifies you and declares you righteous because of your faith in Christ. I said something about Martin Luther a while ago. Martin Luther's testimony was he was a Catholic monk trying to go to heaven by his good works, but he had no peace in his heart. He was crawling up what they call the sacred stairs in Rome, and as he climbed on his knees up these steps, as he climbed one by one, he kept thinking of the verse that says, the just shall live by faith. And the thought kept coming into his mind, if justification and eternal life is by faith, then there's no need to try to be saved by good works. So he put his faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and God looked down from heaven and said, Martin Luther, you're righteous. And he was justified in the sight of God because of his faith in Christ, not because of any good works he'd done. The same thing happened to me when I put my faith in Christ as my Savior on March 24th, 1976. The same thing happened to you whenever you put your faith in Christ, or if you haven't put your faith in Christ, if you'll come to him today and put your faith in him and receive him as your Savior, you'll be justified in the sight of God because of your faith, and God will take you to heaven when you die. That's what Paul is referring to, justification before God, which is by faith without works. That's what Paul dealt with in Romans and Galatians. Now, when James says that we're justified by works and not by faith only, he's talking about, as I'm going to show you, justification not in the sight of God, but in the sight of men. Remember what justification is? Someone judges us and finds us righteous. Two personages judge us, God and man. Paul says, in the sight of God, you're justified and found righteous on the basis of your faith in Jesus Christ without works. But wait a minute. God is omniscient. He can see a person's heart. He can see inside my heart. He can see inside your heart. And so because of that, he knows whether you and me has true faith or not. He can see in my heart, so he knows whether I've got true faith or not. He can see in your heart, so he knows whether you've got true faith or not. Man, on the other hand, is not omniscient and can't see into another person's heart and tell whether the person has faith or not. The only thing man can see is one's actions, one's works. And James is talking about justification in the sight of man. He's talking about what man can look at and see in a person and thereby find them righteous. What man can see. Man can't see inside the heart. Now go again to James chapter 2 and listen carefully to what he says. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, and by the way, a man may say anything. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. So James says, show me thy faith without thy works, which is an impossibility. You can't show me your faith apart from your works, because I can't see your faith. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Verse 24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Do you see how James is talking about what man sees, and how we're justified, how we're found righteous by men? Paul says God can see your heart, and because of that, he knows if you have true faith in Christ, and he justifies you and declares you righteous because of your faith in Christ without works. James says man cannot see your heart, and thus if man is going to justify you and declare you righteous, it'll be because of your works, not just because of your faith, because man can't see your faith. Okay, now let me illustrate. There are a number of people here with us this morning who are either in the military now or used to be in the military. Okay, now, God knows your heart. God knows you are or were in the military regardless of whether you're in uniform or not. Did you hear that? God knows whether you're in the military or were in the military, whether you're in uniform or not, because he knows your heart. But I don't, unless I already know you. But I don't. I can't see your heart. I'll only know if I see what you do, if I see you wearing the uniform, if I see you saluting the officers and things like that, then those things will tell me that you're in the military. You with me here? You see what I'm saying? I remember Dr. Hiles was preaching somewhere one time, and he saw a couple of long-haired, freaky-looking guys. He thought they were a couple of hippies. Turned out they were Jesus freaks. But anyhow, he went over to them, and he asked them, hey, fellas, are you saved? You know, if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And they, of course, like all Jews, are, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Yes, we. And Brother Hall said, oh, well, I'm sorry, I thought you were not saved. And they said, well, why would you think that? And he said, well, to be honest with you, your long hair and the blue jeans with holes in them and all that, I just assumed that you were a unsaved hippie. And the Jesus freak said, yeah, that's the problem with you fundamentalists. You always go with what you see on the outside. Brother Hall said, how'd you know I'm a fundamentalist? And they said, well, that short hair you've got, you're carrying that Scofield Bible, wearing a necktie and a suit, we just assume you're a fundamentalist. Brother Hall said, yeah, that's the problem with you Jesus freaks. You're always going with what you can see on the outside. Are you listening? Everybody goes by what they can see on the outside because that's all they can see. I remember hearing about a preacher who pastored out in Pecos, Texas. You know where Pecos, Texas is? Well, don't go there. I'm kidding. It's all right if you like that kind of place. But anyhow, a new pastor had come into town, pastoring a church there in Pecos, Texas, and he was at the local store, and he was trying to win the store owner to the Lord. And the store owner told him, no, I'm not going to get saved, preacher. Too many of your church members have stolen from me. Now, there's a fella who may die and go to hell because of church members who weren't justified in the sight of men. Now, I don't know if they were justified in the sight of God or not. I can't see their heart. But I know as far as that store owner was concerned, they weren't justified in his sight. And so, let me thirdly and finally show you the connection. James chapter 2. And I want us to notice a couple of things here. James chapter 2, verse 14, and we'll read down only through verse 20 this time. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? James is talking about justification before men, but here's something you need to get hold of. James is saying that true faith in Christ, which saves a person and justifies the person in the sight of God, if it is true saving faith, it will result in some good works which will justify the person in the sight of men. If a person says, you notice through there how he always talks about a man may say this and may say that. People can say anything. But if a person says that his faith is in Jesus Christ, but he has no works to back it up, it's not true saving faith. It's dead faith, like the faith that the devils have. They believe, but they're not going to heaven, they're going to hell. See, their belief is just, they believe up here, but they couldn't get it down in the heart. And it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, Romans 10:10. And so then, somebody put it this way. A faith which saves the soul also changes the life. Now, I was 18 years old when I got saved. And I'd been involved in those 18 years in just about everything a guy could be involved in that he shouldn't have been involved in. But when I trusted Christ on March 24th, 1976, God changed my life, and I mean just like that. There was a change inside. I was different. The Bible, which I had despised, my mother when I was a kid used to make me read the Bible, and I thank God she did, because it's faith comes through hearing the Word of God. So it may have been my mother making me read the Bible when I was 9 and 10 years old. God might have got some of that in here and kept it in there. But I cared nothing about the Bible. But when I got saved, suddenly I wanted to know what the Bible says about things. I hated going to church. I'd go once in a while. My brother would talk me into going, but I despised it. Especially a church like this where the guys up there telling me everything I did wrong and all of that. But when I got saved, suddenly I wanted to go to the house of God. Suddenly I wanted to be around God's people. Amen. See, God changed the inside, and when he changed the inside, that resulted in some things on the outside. I was justified in the sight of God that Wednesday night, March 24th, 1976, when I put my faith in Christ. Immediately I was justified in the sight of God, but I still had hair down to here. Interestingly, the very next day, on Thursday, I went to the barber shop and freaked that barber out. I mean, I walked in with hair hanging down to here, and, you know, what do you want? And I said, well, I want a haircut. And he said, what kind of haircut? And I still don't know. I hear guys now don't go to barbershops anymore. They go to styling salons. Of course, they're all sissies to start with. So they've castrated men for the last 60 years in America and tried to make them everything but men, tried to make them feel guilty about being men. And the only thing men are good for is to pay for everything. And with the guy that's in the White House now, he thinks all the money in the country belongs to him, and he's doing you a favor if he lets you keep a dime out of a dollar that you earned. And all the rest of his party, by the way, and about half of the other party. Justification by faith in the sight of God. You're not going to heaven because you live a good life or because you think you live a good life or because of anything you've done. If you go to heaven, it'll be because you put your faith in Jesus Christ and received him as your Savior. You've got to recognize that you're a sinner who needs a Savior and that Jesus is that Savior that you need. And you have to trust him. That's how you'll go to heaven. When you trust him and him alone as the one to take you to heaven, you'll be justified at that moment in the sight of God. Then, if you let God work from the inside and change your life, Douglas, you need to be sitting down. Ushers, have him sit down out there. This is the second or third time he's gone in and out. He don't need to come back in. You put your faith in Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior, you're justified in the sight of God at that moment. And that's what you have to have to go to heaven. But if you let God work from the inside out, he'll change your life and you'll be justified in the sight of men and have a decent testimony for the Lord here on earth. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I hope that you will today.